Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
God can restore you. God can restore you, right? God can restore you. And everyone got it. But we want to take it a bit further. You know, the reason why I didn't want to start from where we're starting from today, which is an absolute truth, is because we have people that even join us, even online or even on site, that might still have a mentality of asking God to restore them, all right? And anyone that asks God to restore them, there's nothing wrong. They're not going to hell. It's just that they don't know this one, or they have not accepted this one I'm about to say now, all right? So we have taught that one last Thursday, which is valid. But let's take it a step deeper, step further. You know, back in the days when churches, preachers, Christians act below standard, it gets me upset. But now I've realized that everybody's not on the same level. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm able to tolerate everybody. So even if I get to a church where they are burning candle, I'll burn the candle with them. You understand what I'm saying? So please permit. In case, again, you have gone past the stage of today, just permit it. Let's all worship God together. Hallelujah. All right. So God has actually restored you. So God is not in the business of restoring you. God wants to restore you, but he has. It looks like it's contradictory, right? God wants to restore you. He's in the business of restoring you. But I'm telling you today now that, but he has restored you. So which one is which? I'll explain. That explanation will be for next time I teach here. But let me give you a little snippet of it. God has restored you. And he's in the business of restoring you. That's why he restored you. You get it? He's in the business of restoring you. He wants you restored. That's why he has done it. The rest of them, we'll look at it next time. So let's continue on our case. Because if I continue that talk, we'll not be teaching something else. Let's just come back. God has restored you. The question is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian, sir? You're born again. God has restored you. He has. He might not look like it now. You're looking at him. Bombastic side, right? You don't believe him. You believe him. Good. He says sometimes. Okay. All right. So now, God, if you're a Christian, you have been restored. You are restored. If you're a Christian, you are restored. All right? Let's start from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31. I'm going to try to breeze through so that, you know, we can get a concluding encouragement and word, you know, from a man of God. So then God said, let us make man our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What did God play? Which position did God put you? To be what? In domination. So God did not create you to be at the bottom. He created you to be at the top. Let us make man in our image so that they will look like us, and they will act like us, and they will have dominion. Heaven and the spirit is for God. The earth is for us. God put human beings on earth to dominate. That's why he put us on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herbs that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every thing that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he has made, And indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So after God created, he said, it was really good. Everything was good. So you being at the top was good. You were good. God created you well. We're going to jump to chapter 3. 1 to 24. So I'm going to read quick, okay? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what? Coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid from God. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree. She gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Everybody's shifting blame. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall eat. You can come this way, man. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Have you seen it? That's where the demotion started. We're taking it from beginning. God created everyone what? Good. Everything was good. No problems. But the instruction that was given to Adam and Eve, they faltered the instruction. What happened? Curse started coming. This was on the serpent. Let's go to the Eve. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. So you see now that it was a curse for a woman to bring forth children in pain. If you have been restored, what will now happen? You don't bring forth children in pain. You see that? My first son was easy. 2 seconds or 3 seconds. How many seconds, mommy? Mommy was there. She was one that was dragging the... When the child came out, when Stephen came out, I wanted to run. My mother grabbed the umbilical cord. Say, come back here. That was a joke. Anyway, it was easy, right? Then, like the devil wanted to tell us that what is, you know, there's something they call the Ishmaelite. Is it Ishmaelite? They call it experience or something like that. Where there's one particular miracle that you don't do and they want to discourage you in ministry. So the second one, Oga Daniel, didn't want to come out, want to remain in the belly, like Jonah. But it's too late for the devil to do anything to me. It's very too late. It's too late. Devil can't do anything to me. Down also became easy. The third one became easy. And if we have to give it to 9 more, it'll still be easy. Hallelujah. You know that females like to have 12 until they have 2. Then they will now change their mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So look at it. The one of the causes was that the woman would deliver in pain. So if you have been restored, the Bible called it delivering like a what? A Hebrew woman. Why did the Bible say that? Because the Hebrew woman started delivering with ease, like how it's supposed to be naturally. So in case you still want to deliver, or you haven't delivered, you will deliver. Accept this. If you don't accept it, don't worry. Next Sunday, or Sunday, or Thursday, anyone, when we continue, that's where we're going to hit that part. But accept this, all right? Accept that it will be for you. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Have you seen that? For the husband to rule over the wife was also a curse. Men don't like to preach this one, because it will look like they want to give the woman upper hand. They want to give her, you know. But it was a curse. It wasn't supposed to be like that. And that's why Eve was able to give up that the apple. So it was a curse for her, because you went to go and give her that apple. If he was the one ruling over you now, you won't be able to give him the apple. That's why you see that women, you always kneel down. They will kneel down and bring plates. They kneel down and be... No, that's not why. But it was a curse. Now, when the scripture says rule over here, he's not saying that there was no mutual respect, though. That's different. Rule over means that the man will just come and command, get up. And you won't have to just get up. Sit down there. Don't go out today. You know, rule. Rule is different from respect. Hallelujah. Next time we'll go deeper into it when we talk about relationship. But it was a curse. So when you see a man lording over a woman, it was a curse. And if you have been restored, refuse it. Hallelujah. Some men still do it. But when they do it now, their women start rebelling. All right? So in case you're here and you're a man, please don't do it. It was a curse. It should be mutual what? Respect. Mutual respect. All right, let's keep going. Verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Have you seen why men had to work hard before they feed? Do you know it wasn't so from the beginning? You know when we pray and say we put in a little effort, we gain much. That's how it's supposed to be. So when we pray that prayer, we're not praying for a miracle. We are praying to get our normal life, to live in our normal life. You put little, you gain much. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, every time we hear hard work, you have to work hard. People always say the most hardworking people are very broke. The guys that push this in under hot sun. Is it 2K they call it? That's not hard work, sir. And whatever the hard work is, look at the people that are really working hard and sweating, and they are not the richest guys. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't work, oh. But then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. That means you will till and till and till before you get small thing like this. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. This brings me to say that you guys in America are very lucky, very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. If you meet somebody in the UK, you'll know how fortunate you are. You are very fortunate. That place, they are really, these courses are all of them. They work so hard, but they don't see anything. At the end of the month, they just give them enough to pay their rent. That's what they do over there. So if you see anybody in UK that's sending any money, if you're hearing me and you're from Nigeria or from Haiti or from anywhere, and you have somebody in UK and they're sending you money, you have to be worshiping that person. I'm telling you, they are suffering there. And they have the highest currency, but they are suffering. Anyway, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat all the days of your life. So if you are restored, what should happen now? You should enjoy. Like, you will work, of course. God created human being to till the ground. But you don't have to till, and your back is about to break before you get bread to eat. That's not how it should be. So if that's your case, then you need deliverance. We need to pray about it. And we need to teach you more. You need to come to church and be hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, when I was confessing that I'm very wealthy, I'm very rich, I'm healed, that time, I used to go and collect digestive biscuits. You people don't know what digestive is. All of you don't know. You will know. All those sports were digestive. And they have coconut one too, and they have speedy. We used to go and collect it, credit from our neighbor, Jack and Willie, so that we can put inside Gary, so that the Gary will not be like his empty Gary. And I was confessing that I was wealthy, because that's one of the steps. We'll look at that next time. I'm just trying to introduce that part. I don't want to go that part. Let's remain focused. Let's remain focused. So the reason why a man will struggle is because he hasn't taken his place of restoration. Are you still here? Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Have you seen it? Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. That's why men started dying also. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Do we have to go through all this? 2:24. Well, so he drove man out of the verse 24 now. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. You know. So pretty much we see that God created man to be complete, good. He was good. Then they sinned, and what happened? They lost. That is what that restoration is. Restoring us back to that original place. Now, God was trying to reconcile man to himself. So Isaiah, the prophet, verse 53, verse 4 to 6. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Who? Jesus. We were prophesying that Jesus was going to come. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. You see, all the punishment that we would face, Jesus came, carried all of them. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, what? We are healed. So the woman don't have to deliver in pain anymore. You don't have to fall sick every minute. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. So all the iniquity. Now, remember I told you that sin is divided into two, right? One is what? Iniquity. The other one is what? Transgression. You guys, if next time I'll point, if I'll say you what, you know they do it in classes. So better be getting all these things so that it can help us, help you too. All right? So iniquity here is the sin from Adam. Transgression is the one we commit ourselves, right? Trespasses. So they call it trespasses to transgression. So he has laid on him what? The iniquity. That sin that we inherited from Adam. Remember, he's telling you that he's going to restore you. So in order for him to restore you, that iniquity you inherited from our father Adam mustn't be on you anymore. So God took that iniquity and put it on Jesus. Jesus suffered for it. Why? So that you're restored. So the day you gave your life to Christ, you should not suffer that loss anymore. Are you seeing how he has restored you? He has restored you. So you should not suffer that loss anymore the day you gave your life to Christ. All right. John chapter 10, verse 7 to 10. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So Christ has paid the price. Now he's telling us that he's the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are what? Are thieves and robbers. But the sheep does not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? He will be saved. He will be restored. And will go in and out and find what? Pasture. Have you seen it? He said you were going to till the ground before you eat. Now he says if you enter through me, you will go in and out and do what? You will just go in and go out and what? You will find pasture. You will find food. You'll be all right. You'll make money. You know, some people always don't want Christians talk about money. But listen, brothers and sisters, without money, you cannot achieve anything. You'll be very miserable without money. Have you ever walked on the street before and you didn't have money in your pocket? What happened to your confidence? You don't want anything to spoil. Have you ever driven your car without money in your pocket? What were you busy looking at? The gas. But if you had money in your pocket and you had unlimited credit card or debit card, will you look at the gas? You just go to the gas station and say, fill it up. So money is answering all things, my brother and sister. Let's say it the way it is. So we have to talk about it. And if you're going to propagate the gospel, what do you look at? Money. Without money, gospel is not going to go anywhere. You think you're going to stay at home and cry like the voice in the wilderness and everybody in the whole world will hear you from your house? Hallelujah. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved first. He will become restored. He will become a child of God and will go in and out and do what? And find pasture. He will now make it in life. So you don't only come to God and become life and become at peace with God, but you also what? You also find pasture. The curse, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, was removed once you gave your life to Christ. Then he says here, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil did to them in the Garden of Eden. I have come that they, my what, may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Some will say more to the full. So he didn't come to make you born again only, but you're going to have it more abundantly in your health, in your pockets, in your family. You will have life. Are you still here? So you see that the price for your restoration has been paid. That's why I said that he has restored you. The price has been paid. John chapter 19, that will be the last scripture we use. After this, verse 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I tell you, and this was when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, you know, when he was being crucified, he was going to die for our sins. And those Jewish didn't know, the Israelites didn't know, so they were going to just kill him, Herod, you know. After the whole thing, after the whole torture, after the whole stripes, the cane and everything. He says, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he has fulfilled everything, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, can we read this together? I want to go. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he did what? He gave up his spirit. So Jesus completely paid the price for your restoration. He has finished it. He said it is finished. There's no other price that anybody will pay than the one he has paid. He has paid the price for your restoration. The punishment that we're supposed to suffer because of the iniquity, Jesus took that punishment so that we can be restored. He took the punishment and restored us. Hallelujah. The next time I teach, maybe Sunday, then we're going to be looking at how then do you get this restoration that Jesus has given. Now, I say you have been restored, but how do you get it? Because really, you have been restored. How do you now live in your restoration? A rich man, I always use a rich man, right? A rich man, a billionaire, he willed all his wealth to his son, his only son, right? Even if he's dead now, so all that money is for his only son. If his only son don't know that he has money, then what will happen? He will just die broke too, and the money will just be there. Okay, if the only son knows that, okay, my father willed money to me, but he doesn't go and get it, what will happen also? But was there money there for him? Okay, we'll look at that on Sunday. We'll look at that also. But I want you, our course of study today before I step down is that The price for restoration has been paid. There's no other price that will be paid. Hallelujah. So, if you're going to follow me and graduate to the next class, last week, Lord, restore me. That's wonderful. That's good. But if you're going to take, if you're going to follow me to the next class, you don't need God, restore me. Because he has done it already. And now you know. But still, if you don't accept it, remain there though. Which is still fine. Well, it's not fine. But it's still permitted, right? But if you follow me, then, and you want to graduate to the next level, the next class, then leave that one aside because he has already done it. Now we're going to start looking at how to capture what he has done for us. So first thing I want you to do today is to know that you have been restored. There's nothing you're going through that he hasn't paid the price for. He has paid the price for it. There's no need to ask him to pay it again. He has paid it already. Jesus is in heaven. What did the Bible say he's doing? He's seated in heavenly places. Far! He's not walking. He's not trying to fight any devil now. Anyone I think that Jesus will come down and fight the devil for them, you're wasting your time. He has already defeated the devil. He's now seated in heavenly places by the right hand of his Father, God, far above. He has done everything he has to do. And he's waiting for you to take action. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and pray.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.